Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, July 24th, 2007. We welcome those of you who have joined us today, both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today, the Board will consider a recommendation to propose an amendment to Rule 3523, Tax Services for Persons in Financial Reporting Oversight Roles, and to further adjust the implementation schedule for that rule. In addition, the Board will consider a recommendation to propose a new ethics and independence rule that would supersede the Board's interim independence requirement, ISB standard number 1, regarding independence discussions with audit committees. Before we proceed with the specific agenda items, I will note for the record that all Board members are present. First order of business before the Board today is a recommendation that the Board propose an amendment to Rule 3523 and a new rule on auditors' communication with audit committees concerning independence. I will now turn to our Chief Auditor, Tom Ray, for the staff's recommendations. Tom.
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Board. As you indicated, Mr. Chairman, we're here this morning to make a recommendation to the Board to issue for public comment an amendment to PCAOB Rule 3523, Tax Services to Persons in Financial Reporting Oversight Roles, that would exclude from the scope of the rule the portion of the audit period that precedes the beginning of the professional engagement period. The proposed amendment to Rule 3523 follows the Board's April 3, 2007 concept release, which solicited comment about the possible effects on a firm's independence of providing tax services to a person covered by Rule 3523 during the portion of the audit period that precedes the beginning of the professional engagement period. Additionally, in light of the comments we received on the concept release, we also are recommending that the Board issue for public comment a proposed Ethics and Independence Rule 3526, Communication with Audit Committees Concerning Independence, that would supersede one of the Board's current interim independence requirements, ISB number 1, independence discussions with committees, with audit committees, and two related interpretations. Specifically, the proposed rule would require a registered public accounting firm to communicate to the issuer's audit committee any relationships between the firm and the issuer that may reasonably be thought to bear on the firm's independence. The communications would be required both before the firm accepts a new engagement pursuant to the standards of the PCAOB and annually for continuing engagements. My colleague, Bella Rivshin, Associate Chief Auditor, will discuss in greater detail the proposed amendment to Rule 3523 and proposed Rule 3526. Before I turn the floor over to Bella, I would like to thank her for her efforts in preparing this recommendation, and also thank Greg Skates and our Office of General Counsel for their assistance as well. Bella?
Thank you, Tom. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Board. On July 26, 2005, the Board adopted certain rules related to registered public accounting firms' provision of tax services to public company audit clients. As part of this rulemaking, the Board adopted Rule 3523, which provides that a registered firm, subject to certain exceptions, is not independent of an audit client of the firm or any affiliate of the firm, provides tax services during the audit or professional engagement period to a person in or an immediate family member of a person in the financial reporting oversight role at the audit client. In preparing for implementation of the Board's tax and independence rules, the Board decided to revisit the application of Rule 3523 to services provided during the audit period. On April 3, 2007, the Board issued a concept release to solicit comments about the possible effects on a firm's independence providing tax services to a person covered by Rule 3523 during the portion of the audit period that precedes the professional engagement period and other practical consequences of applying the restrictions imposed by Rule 3523 to that portion of the audit period. The Board received 13 comment letters. Commenters included auditors, state CPA societies, and one investor. Most commenters recommended that the Board amend Rule 3523 to exclude the portion of the audit period that precedes the beginning of the professional engagement period. After careful consideration, the staff is recommending that the Board propose an amendment to Rule 3523 to exclude the portion of the audit period that precedes the beginning of the professional engagement period. This would be accomplished by striking the words audit and from the current text of Rule 3523. The staff does not believe it is necessary to restrict the provision of tax services during the portion of the audit period that precedes the beginning of the professional engagement period to preserve auditor independence. Unlike other SEC and PCAOB independence rules that provide that firms are not independent if they or their affiliates have provided certain non-audit services to an audit client during the audit period, Rule 3523 relates to services provided to individuals and not the audit client that issues the financial statement subject to audit. Additionally, if the board decides to propose an amendment to Rule 3523 as described, the registered firms would remain responsible for considering the relevant facts and circumstances of a specific tax engagement and determining whether their independence is impaired under the SEC's general standard of independence. The staff believes that this approach would allow for a more tailored application of the independence requirement to this area that would prohibit only those services that pose a risk while allowing those that do not and avoid any unnecessary impediments to changing auditors. In addition, in light of the comments concerning the application of Rule 3523, in the context of an initial public offering, the staff is recommending that the board propose adding a note to Rule 3523 that would state in the context of an initial public offering the provision of tax services to a person in a financial reporting oversight role before the earlier of the date that the firm, one, signed the initial engagement letter or other agreement to perform an audit pursuant to the standards of the PCAOB, or began procedures to do so, does not impair a registered firm's independence under Rule 3523. Now I would like to spend a few minutes talking about a proposed ethics and independence rule relating to communication with audit committees that the staff is recommending the board issue for public comment. Although the April 3rd concept release did not seek comment regarding audit committee communication, several commenters encouraged the board to consider requiring additional communication between the auditor and the issuer's audit committee about matters that might bear on the auditor's independence if the board decided to amend Rule 3523. These commenters suggested that such additional communication would assist the audit committee in assessing the auditor's independence. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, along with the SEC's related implementation rules, enhanced the required communication between the audit committee and the auditor by requiring the issuer's audit committee to pre-approve audit and non-audit services provided by the auditor. However, the accounting firm currently does not have an existing requirement under the SEC or PCAOB rules to provide information to the audit committee about the auditor's independence, including whether services are being provided to an issuer or any person in a financial reporting oversight role in connection with becoming the issuer's auditor. The staff believes that the accounting firm should discuss with the audit committee before accepting an initial engagement pursuant to the standards of the PCAOB any relationships, including services the accounting firm has provided or is providing, they may reasonably be thought to bear on the firm's independence. A requirement to communicate such information would provide the audit committee with information that may be important in its determination about whether to hire the firm as the company's auditor. Accordingly, the staff is recommending the board propose a new independence rule, Rule 3526, communication with audit committees concerning independence. The current requirements under ISB 1, independence discussions with audit committees, requires the auditor to disclose to the audit committee, among other things, all relationships between the auditor and its related entities, in the company and its related entities that in the auditor's professional judgment may reasonably be thought to bear on independence. Proposed Rule 3526 would build on that communication and require the registered public accounting firm prior to accepting an initial engagement pursuant to the standards of the PCAOB to, one, describe in writing to the audit committee of the issuer all relationships between the firm or any affiliate of the firm and the potential audit client or persons in a financial reporting oversight role at the potential audit client that may reasonably be thought to bear on independence. Two, discuss with the audit committee of the issuer the potential effects of these relationships on the independence of the firm, should it be appointed the issuer's auditor. And three, document the substance of its discussion with the audit committee of the issuer. The registered public accounting firm would also be required on at least annual basis after becoming the issuer's auditor to provide the same information to the issuer's audit committee and to affirm to the audit committee of the issuer in writing that the firm is independent in compliance with PCAOB Rule 3520, Auditor Independence. The proposed rule would require the firm to disclose to the audit committee only those relationships that may reasonably be thought to bear on independence. This language is taken from ISB number 1. In determining what relationships may reasonably be thought to bear on independence, the accounting firm would need to consider, in addition to whether the firm has provided any specifically prohibited services or maintained any specifically prohibited relationships, the SEC's general standard on independence, which focuses on the perception of reasonable investor, and AU section 220, which focuses on the perception of reasonable people. Unlike ISB number 1, however, the proposed rule would not modify this basic reasonableness standard with the words "in the auditor's professional judgment." The staff believes that omitting these words will clarify the requirement by reminding auditors the need to focus on the perceptions of reasonable third parties when making independence determinations. Auditors will, of course, need to apply professional judgment to determine what is reasonable under particular facts and circumstances. I would also like to point out that proposed Rule 3526 would require disclosure of all relationships that may reasonably be thought to bear on independence, whether those relationships existed during the audit period or during earlier periods. In addition, the proposed rule would describe the existing ISB-1 requirement to discuss the auditor's independence with the audit committee with more specificity. Specifically, the proposed rule would require the auditor to discuss with the audit committee of the issuer the potential effects of the relationship on the independence of the accounting firm. This articulation is intended to emphasize the required communication should provide the audit committee with sufficient information to understand how a particular relationship might affect independence and foster a robust discussion. Finally, if proposed Rule 3526 is adopted, it would supersede ISB number 1 and two related interpretations regarding the applicability of ISB number 1 to secondary auditors. In summary, we recommend that the board issue for public comment the proposed amendment to Rule 3523 and proposed Ethics and Independence Rule 3526, Communication with Audit Committees Concerning Independence, for a 45-day comment period. Additionally, if the board decides to propose an amendment to Rule 3523, we recommend that the board further adjust the implementation schedule for Rule 3523 in order to allow sufficient time for consideration of commenters' views on the proposed amendment. Specifically, we recommend that the board not apply Rule 3523 to tax services provided on or before April 30, 2008, when those services are provided during the audit period and are completed before the professional engagement period begins. If approved by the board, this adjustment to the implementation schedule would be filed with Securities and Exchange Commission as an immediately effective rule change. This concludes our presentation to the board. We will be pleased to address any questions.
Thank you, Bella. Thank you, Tom. Are there any motions regarding this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Mr. Niemeyer.
Chairman, I move that the board instruct the staff to release the proposed Ethics and Independence Rule on Communication with Audit Committees and proposed amendment to Rule 3523 as recommended for public comment for a period of 45 days, and that the board further instruct the staff to file the adjustment to the implementation schedule for Rule 3525 with the SEC as an immediately effective proposed rule change.
Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to second the motion.
Thank you, Charlie and Dan. A motion has been made and seconded. So the question before the board is whether to issue for public comment a release concerning a proposed ethics and independence rule on communication with audit committees and a proposed amendment to Rule 3523, and to further adjust the implementation schedule for Rule 3523. Before I ask my fellow board members for their comments, I want to thank Tom, Bella, and Greg Skates, and other staff involved for their hard work in developing the proposals that we're considering today. Thank you very much. First this morning, as you already have described in detail, we will consider staff recommendation to propose an amendment to Rule 3523 and to further adjust the implementation schedule for that rule to allow time for the board to consider comments on the proposed amendment. Second, the board will also consider the staff's recommendation to propose a new ethics and independence rule that would supersede the board's interim independence requirement, ISB number 1, regarding independence discussions with audit committees. As staff has just described, this proposed rule came about as a result of board discussion of comments received earlier this year on the concept release for Rule 3523. With regard to the proposed amendment to Rule 3523, as Tom and Bella just outlined, the board solicited comment on the effects on independence of providing tax services to a person covered by Rule 3523 during the portion of the audit period that precedes the professional engagement period, and other practical consequences of applying the rule to that time period. Most comments recommended excluding that period and thought that independence is not affected by providing services during that period. I support the staff's proposal, which takes the approach outlined in the board's concept release. This change, importantly, would not alter the rest of Rule 3523. Therefore, in my opinion, it would maintain auditor independence by preventing a firm from continuing to provide tax services to persons covered by Rule 3523 once the professional engagement period has commenced. Moreover, it is important to note that if, following comment period, the board moves to amend the rule, auditors would still be responsible for considering the relevant facts and circumstances of a specific tax engagement and determining whether their independence is impaired under the SEC's general standard of independence. I concur with staff's observation that it is not necessary to restrict the provision of tax services during that portion of the audit period that precedes the professional engagement period to preserve independence. However, my colleagues and I on the board welcome public comment on this proposed amendment. Regarding Rule 3526, as staff just outlined, the board has been asked to consider proposing a rule that builds on the communication requirement in ISB number 1. That standard, which is part of the board's interim independence standards, requires, among other things, a firm to annually disclose to the audit committee all relationships between the auditor and its related entities and the company and its related entities that may reasonably be thought to bear on independence. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act enhanced the audit committee's role in hiring and overseeing the auditor. The rule that we are considering proposing today, unlike ISB 1, would require the communications about independence before a firm becomes the issuer's auditor of record. Proposed Rule 3526 would also, similar to ISB number 1, require the auditor to communicate any relationships that may reasonably be thought to bear on independence on an annual basis after being retained as the auditor of record. The communication required by the proposed rule should provide the audit committee with sufficient information to understand how a particular relationship may affect independence and to foster a robust discussion. In my view, the proposed rule will help audit committees make more informed decisions when hiring their auditors. For this reason, I support the staff's proposal and encourage public comment on it. The board is seeking comment on all aspects of the amendment and proposed rule that we are considering today, and I encourage stakeholders to consider the proposals and provide comment. I'll now turn to my fellow board members for any discussion. Mr. Gelzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think as your statement and the staff's presentation indicate, we're really dealing here with two distinct issues. In order to understand what we're trying to do and how we got here, it's important to keep in mind the differences between those two issues. In my view, the first question, the first issue, is rather narrow. Should an accounting firm that has assisted company executives with their taxes be able to accept an assignment as the company's auditor later in the year? The board already prohibits accountants from simultaneously auditing a company's financial statements and providing personal tax services to the executives responsible for its financial reporting. That principle isn't open to debate. But in its current form, Rule 3523 would also prevent a firm from accepting the audit assignment, even if the executive tax work occurred during the early part of the fiscal year and ended before the firm became the financial statement auditor. As has already been pointed out, most, but by no means all, of the comments the board received urged that Rule 3523 be amended to permit such a firm to compete for the audit engagement. The proposed change to Rule 3523 would implement those suggestions. The amendment would remove an obstacle to selecting the accounting firm that best fits the company's needs. It would do so without, in my view, compromising basic principles of independence. I support publishing that amendment for comment. To me, the second issue we're considering is more fundamental. When should an incoming auditor communicate with the audit committee regarding independence? The current independence rules, which the board inherited when we adopted our interim standards in 2003, require the auditor to inform the audit committee annually about matters that might bear on independence. Surprisingly, however, nothing in those rules says that such a communication should take place before the audit committee hires the auditor. Proposed Rule 3526 would address that anomaly. Prior to accepting an initial audit engagement pursuant to PCAOB standards, the would-be auditor would have to inform the audit committee of any present or past relationships with the client or with its financial reporting executives that may reasonably be seen as bearing on independence. This common sense requirement would make sure that audit committees have the relevant independence information in front of them when they select the auditor, not after they've already made the decision and the work has been performed. As the staff is aware, I've had some reservations about the amount of time that's been devoted over the past year to the first issue, the narrow question of whether or not to remove the words audit period from Rule 3523. However, I view proposed Rule 3526 quite differently. I'm pleased that all the time and effort that's gone into this project has now led to a proposal that, in my view, has the potential to help audit committees in better fulfilling their responsibilities.